Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. I am so excited to chat with you guys today. It's a beautiful day in Jersey and it's a Sunday. I love recording these podcasts on Sundays because it typically is when my son takes the best nap. And so it gives me time to be able to do this with a quiet house, which doesn't happen that often when you have a 1.5-year-old. And so for today, I wanted to talk to you guys about a couple of things, primarily being this concept of buying back your time. But before I did that, I just had to say, I am so grateful and so, I don't even know the correct word to even call it. I just feel so insanely blessed with all of the positive feedback I've gotten from a lot of you sending me DMs, texting me, emailing me, sharing the podcast with everyone. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means a lot to me. One thing I wanted to share with you guys is I have gotten so much positive feedback about the fact that the episodes are short and sweet and to the point and only 20-minute long episodes. When I was recording the first few, I kept telling my assistant like, oh my gosh, these episodes are only 20 minutes. I'm like so insecure about that. I'm so, you know, not feeling really great about that. Like other episodes that I listen to or other podcasts that I listen to are much longer than that. And she was like, Steph, why don't you just become known as like the 20-minute episode girl? And I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. I should do that. That's what feels good to me. I feel like I can get on here and get to my point and be able to provide value for you guys without me having to drag on. One of the most common pieces of feedback I've gotten is that people love that they're 20 minutes. They can put it on, they can go in their car. And it's just so funny. And it's a great reminder because all of the things that we are self-conscious about or some of the things that we doubt within ourselves when we're putting something new out there, people probably love it. And you would never know, right? Like you guys never would have known unless I told you that I was super self-conscious about how short the episodes were. You never would have known that. So for all of you, especially in the last week, it seems like it's been a theme that have told me that you love that. Thank you, because that has really helped calm me down and just made me excited about the fact that I'm delivering 20-minute episodes. So back to the point. Today, we're talking about this concept of buying back your time. And so I have known about this concept for a long time. It's been very much discussed within the entrepreneur space of like, hey, once you get to a certain level, once your business is doing X amount in revenue, the next thing that you really start to care about is like, I don't want to put in these 10, 12-hour work days. I want to start to free up my time so I can focus on other things, whether that's another business or just getting some of that time back because you're starting to feel a little deflated, a little burnt out from building your business. So I want to walk you through a couple of the processes that I've done. I'm also going to give a shout out to Dan Martell. He wrote a book called Buy Back Your Time. And one thing that I love about the book that Dan says specifically is he also says, I didn't create this concept, right? We've been talking about this. Plenty of consultants out there, plenty of coaches and speakers have differing viewpoints on what that looks like and what that process can be. I just have compiled all of the info that I had and put it into this book with my own twist and how I've utilized it in my life. And I love that. So I definitely want to give a shout out to Dan. You guys should all get his book. I also have met with Dan's wife, Renee. She is wonderful. I've been on her podcast. She's going to come on my podcast. She does a lot of PR. And so it was super cool to get to hang out with her and her kind of give us the behind the scenes PR push for Dan's book. And it's cool that she was involved in that. I love couples that are building cool shit together. So Dan says that there are 5 time assassins. So essentially, there are 5 things that can screw with your time. And I'm going to break those down for you. So the first one is the staller. You sabotage your own success by hesitating on big decisions. And so basically, you're just constantly putting off what you know it is that you should be doing. The second one is the speed demon. So you make rapid decisions, such as hiring the quickest, easiest person that you possibly can, or you just make a quick decision for the business, but then it's probably not the right decision because you didn't think it through. And then you find yourself kind of in this pattern over and over, like, why am I not getting ahead? Well, you make a lot of quick decisions. If I had to choose which time assassin I am, it would be this one. That's because I just speed through. I listen to my gut, but sometimes the reason, I mean, you heard on our last episode with my husband, the reason we are such a good match is because I force him to speed up, but he forces me to slow down a little bit too. The third one is the supervisor. So you fail to properly train, micromanage others, and you fail to empower them or for them to truly grow and learn. So this is all of you micromanagers out there. You think you're the only one who could get it done. So therefore, all of your time is spent micromanaging others. The fourth one is the saver. So you have money in your bank account, but you don't really want to invest it into yourself or into your team, which would then allow you to get some of your time back. You're just waiting for the worst case scenario and you're holding on to the money instead of investing it back into your business, into team processes that would be quicker, equipment that you need that could be better for the business, hiring a mentor that could help accelerate your path, whatever it is, you're just not doing it. And the fifth and final one is the self-medicator. You turn to food, alcohol, or other vices so you can reward yourself when you have success, which in turn starts to create destructive patterns or slows down your true growth because you're kind of self-sabotaging in that sense. And so as you hear all five of these, I would ask yourself, which one do I resonate with? And you might resonate with a couple. I know when I talked about this in my mastermind, one of my members said, well, I actually think that there's three that I could say that I align with. And if you think about that, and there's three of them, it's like, wow, you're really holding yourself back from success then, right? If you can resonate with all three of them and you have patterns of all three, then imagine how much you're actually slowing your own growth. And I think that's important. You should look at that and think about what is it that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing that could be inevitably holding me back from the success that I desire. And so when you also start to look at buying back your time, you could be in a scenario where you're just building your business and you don't necessarily have the resources to bring on another doctor. You're maybe not at that stage and you're not looking for that. That's okay. That's not the only way that you can buy back your time. You can also buy back your time by just hiring out small tasks like doing the office cleaning because you don't need to do that anymore. Doing your house cleaning. That's another thing that I don't think gets talked about enough is this idea that we can buy back things that are happening in our personal life, especially once we start to get a little bit of money. I was on a podcast and actually, it was Renee's podcast, and she asked me, like, what is one of the things that you did to start to buy back your time so you could have all of these different businesses and be a mom and all of that? And I said, literally, I think when Kyle and I had our first $100 that wasn't going to a bill, I was like, please, we're getting a house cleaner. I do not want to scrub these bathrooms. I do not want to scrub these floors. I don't care. Let's use that $100 for a house cleaner. You know, it comes down to what you value and what you prioritize and what you enjoy spending your free time on. And if I wasn't working, there's no way I want to spend 3 hours cleaning the house every Saturday. So that's one of the first things that I outsource. My clients know that I encourage them to outsource things at home if home's feeling overwhelming. It doesn't have to just be only in your business. It's like doing basically a life audit and saying, where am I feeling the most overwhelmed? Is it at home or is it at the business? Depending on what you decide, then you say, okay, what can I outsource first at home? And what can I outsource first at the business? And both of those could be cleaning, honestly, at each of those. Also, when you're doing this time and energy audit, you need to calculate what it is you make per hour. And so you could take your total revenue for the clinic and then all of the hours spent on actually generating income. So if you're, you know, cleaning, obviously that's not a generating income task. It's something that needs to be done, but it's not necessarily making you money. But look at all the hours you spend on a weekly basis, times that by how many weeks you work. So if it's 50, 52, and then see based on what you're making and the hours you're spent working on generating income, what does that number come out to? And maybe it's $100 an hour. And you're like, okay, cool. Now we have info that we can use moving forward. If I make $100 an hour in the business, what are things that I'm spending my time on that I could outsource for less than $100 an hour? And chances are it's almost everything. There's not a lot of people that make $100 an hour, but I'm assuming that I'm talking to other practitioners that are in a specialty field that generate a high income. And so if you can make $100 an hour, at least you can pay somebody $20 an hour to be your front desk. You could pay somebody, you know, $100 for 3 hours to clean your entire office. You start to see that anything that isn't a $100 task, you shouldn't be spending or wasting your time on. And this is not a new concept for most of you. Most of you have probably heard this. That's essentially what Dan refers to as determining your buyback rate. And then for the next 2 weeks, you want to look at your calendar and your schedule at 15-minute increments and see where you're spending your time. So from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, break that down for 2 weeks straight in 15-minute blocks and say, okay, for this 15 minutes, I just scrolled social media. For that 15 minutes, I was preparing my food at home. For that 15 minutes, I was driving to work, whatever it may be. Every little thing you need to record. And one, this helps you see where you could potentially be wasting a ton of time. If you look back at the past 2 weeks and you're like, oh my God, literally I spent 5 hours cleaning the office or the house, or I spent 5 hours scrolling social media, or I spent 5 hours dropping things off at the post office. One of the things that we do within our clinic is we send all of our active patients birthday cookies for their birthday. And that is a time investment. It takes a lot of time to go get the cookies, individually wrap them, send them off, take them to the post office, wait in the line, and then have them ring up tons of birthday cookies. And so the first couple times I did it, and then I was like, cool, I'm outsourcing this to a team member because I don't have an hour and a half for this whole process. So maybe you're looking at your schedule and you're like, wow, I spent a lot of time at the post office dropping things off or returning things, even if they're personal things you ordered online, I'm driving there. That's something that you can outsource right away to like just an assistant or a helper that you could pay for 5 to 10 hours a week. Then after you audit your time, you'd want to assign a dollar task to each item on there. And so things like, hey, I could pay somebody $15 an hour to take care of my post office. I could pay somebody $15 an hour to go grocery shopping for me. It is 2023. So chances are you order your groceries online and have them delivered anyways, or you can order them and go pick them up. That's obviously a huge time saver. Then you're going to look through and highlight everything. And red is stuff that you don't love doing. It sucks your energy. And green is stuff that gives you energy and that you enjoy. Doesn't really matter how much time you spend on it. It also doesn't matter whether it's a high income producing task or not. It's just like, hey, it brings me joy. Then you look and you say, okay, all of these in green, I want to keep. But maybe there's one or two things that are in green that really are a little bit of a waste of time. Let me outsource those. But then everything in red, I want to outsource as well because I don't enjoy doing them. And now that I have a dollar amount associated with each task, I now know what I can afford to pay somebody. Because if I'm making $100 an hour, I know that I can easily pay somebody $25 an hour to do something. So often I think we get caught up in this idea that we have to do it all as the business owner. And that's definitely not the case. We get caught up in the idea of like, I can do it better. And I had a coach say to me one time, what if you could do it better? What if you are the best at that particular thing, but you could train somebody to do it 85 to 90% as good as you? Maybe they're not going to be up to your standards or what you think your caliber is, but if we can train them to be 80 to 90%, would that feel good? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I would get so much time back. And so I want to encourage you to ask the same thing of yourself. Maybe there's something you're amazing at and you want to continue to do that. Cool. Is there anything else that if we just found somebody that could do it 80% as good and you would get 5 hours of your week back, are you willing to do that? Because the answer should be yes. The answer should be that would be a good energy, value, time, money exchange that I would be willing to commit to. And so after we break down our week and we look at all of that, you have a clear idea of how much you make, how much you could afford to pay somebody. Then you start to look at, what am I going to do with all this new time that I have, whether it's at home or the business? Am I going to use it to start a second business? Am I going to use it to just reset my nervous system and get back to a place that feels really good? Because maybe you've been grinding, maybe you've been hustling and you've been building something new, and it's time for you to be like, okay, now those hours that I've freed up within my week are spent on self-care and taking care of myself, making sure that my health and my mental capacity is super dialed in a healthy place. Maybe you say, hey, now that I have this free time, I can spend this with my children, or I could spend it starting to consider building my family. One of the things that we do in our mastermind is essentially my mastermind is built on these three components. And I refer to them easily as profit, people, prosper. And so once we dial in your profit, then we're able to hire the right people, meet the right people, bring on the right people, build out a five-star team so that your life can begin to prosper. And that looks different for everybody. For me, prosper meant make more money and work less. It also meant have time for my family. For you, it might mean something else. But in order for us to get to that prosper stage, we have to make sure that our business is having plenty of new clients and dream clients that reach out. Not only new clients, but the clients that we actually enjoy working with. I was talking to a client the other day and she was like, I just energetically feel drained. I know where I want to go. I want to double the practice, but I can't. And I don't know what's holding me back. And so we dove into some mindset stuff with her. And one of the things was she was taking care of a lot of people that were sucking her energy. How many times have you looked at your schedule before and been like, oh my gosh, I don't want to see like 10 of those people. I don't know what to do. I'm going to see them because I want to make the income and I want to help them, but they really are just energetically draining me. They're negative. They always have to complain about something. You all know it. You have a person that comes to your mind as you hear me talk about this. And if your schedule is filled with a lot of those people, of course you don't feel like going to work and doubling, because in your head, you're going to double the amount of people that you actually don't want to serve. And so when you're looking at increasing your profitability, one of the things you need to consider is, if I'm going to continue to grow this practice, who do I really want to serve? And who are the people that get me lit up and excited and that I'm so excited to head into the office for another day to see? And how can I fill my schedule full of those people? Then we also look at like, okay, what expenses are happening that maybe don't need to be happening? Or what is our profit margin? How can we increase that profit margin? If you're only profiting 20%, how can we get it to 40 or 50%? And after we kind of dial in profit, we start to look at, okay, now that we have this guaranteed, predictable, sustainable cash flow, what are we going to do with it that's best for the business? And likely that's investing into people and resources that are going to help your business continue to grow. That stage is a very complicated stage of business, because if you've never been a leader before, if you've never mentored or had to show up and be a leader for other people, colleagues especially, I find it very difficult for doctors when they bring on their first associate. They're like, I don't want to have any confrontation, but I also don't like the way things are going. Or, hey, I need to bring this up and do a team training on it, but I don't know how to go about it. I want to come off as like encouraging. And so that stage, there's a lot of different things that you encounter when you start to grow your team. We work on building a five-star team that's enrolled in your vision so that they can essentially help you carry out your vision. That's why you grow your team. It's like you want to impact more people together and you need help doing that. Sometimes it can't just be yourself. Then once all of that's dialed in, we start to look at like, okay, to truly prosper, can we start to create some wealth? Can we start to build other cash flowing assets? Can we create generational wealth? One of the things for Kyle and I is we are the first millionaires in our family. And it's so funny to say that to you guys, because for a while I had this weird feeling like I can't actually tell people that, but it's like, hey, I'm actually really proud of that now. And I know that I am one of many, but we were the first people in our family to really go to college, open a business, make substantial money. And we didn't know what to do with the money once we got it, right? And probably some of you listening to this are like, I can relate to that. And so we paid a lot of money to advisors and coaches and mentors and investment clubs so that we could start to realize like, how can we get our money to work for us? And that's the third and final stage that we kind of focus on within the mastermind. So I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a background on what that looks like. And if you're listening to this, you could start to even duplicate that in your life. Hey, I know once I get to this first stage, then I'm going to start working towards buying back my time. And then once I feel like I have that dialed in, how can I make my money work for me, right? Because we're not here to just work and then die. We're here to work, enjoy life, do work that's meaningful to us and make a difference and spread joy and love and positivity. It's a lot easier to do that when you feel really good about yourself and the money that you're making and the difference you're making. So you can listen to this and say, okay, I know that I'm at step one. And when I get to step two, I'll know what my next actionable items are. I hope this was helpful for you guys. I know that I usually fly through content, but that's kind of my MO. That's the way I like to go. I talk fast. I fit right in Jersey, even though I'm from Kansas. You would never know. As always, guys, thank you for being here, and I will see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.